Father, we thank you for all that you've already done through worship, through time of ministry, Lord God. I thank you for every person that's here. Some are here because they normally come. Others came because they just felt to come today. But Lord, regardless of that, I pray that none leave empty-handed or empty-hearted. That, Lord God, that they would have a sense that you spoke to them, that you would minister to each person here and those watching online as well. We give this time to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you here this morning. Several weeks ago, I started a series called Soul Care. And I don't know whether you heard a little bit earlier when Brenda was announcing the last song, she talked about, you know, heart and soul and kind of interchanged them, which in a sense is true, right? You know, when we think of our heart, we think of kind of our emotions, our feelings. When we think of our mind, maybe our decision making. And it's really hard to separate the two. And so when I use the term soul care, I'm really talking about the mind and the heart combined in a sense, just so you know where I was going with that. And so in the first week when we introduced the subject, we talked about dealing with our adversary. Now, it's not your spouse, you know, it's not your coworker, it's not your boss, it's not your circumstances. So often what happens is what we see is who we blame in a sense. And that's not what we're supposed to do. As believers in Christ, we need to realize that we have one adversary, and the Bible says who he is. Everyone know who he is, right? That's Satan. And he's the one that incites people, incites circumstances. He's the one behind the scenes, the puppet master, so to speak. And so for us as believers, we have to come to a place of maturity in not reacting to what we're seeing or experiencing, but rather we see it or experience it, then we say, Lord Jesus, how do I deal with this? And that is how we deal with our adversary or adversity in life. Amen? So that was, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Last week at our outdoor service, which became an indoor service because of the weather conditions, we had soul care was still the same subject, but we talked about first things first. To care for your mind, your will, your emotions, there's a couple things you have to put first in your life above everything else. And when I say everything, everything else. And these are two things, very simple. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. You cannot put anything about, you might, well, what about my kids? What about my wife? No, I'm sorry. You must put the Word of God and the Spirit of God, your walk with Him, above family members, above everything else in this life. If you don't, it will cost you because you will compromise if you put other things before the Lord. And so we talked about the Word of God that week, last week, and I made the point that in a sense, your Bible, your phone app that has the Bible on it is like a storage house for God's Word. But in a sense, it's useless to you unless it's in your heart. I've made this statement a couple years ago to someone and it kind of freaked them out. I said, what if your Bible was taken away from you? What if your phone with all the apps were taken away with Bible apps? How much of the Bible is in you? How much of God's Word is in you? Because that's the only Word that really counts. Here in the Bible, it's there for you. But it's of no value unless it's growing in a human heart. And so we talked about that last week. And then we talked about the importance of the Spirit of God, that His presence changes everything. Can I have an amen with that? You know, it doesn't matter what you're involved in, what's going on in your life. When you sense that God is with you and you're not alone, it changes everything. And as believers, those are two priorities, the Word of God and His presence above everything else. And I know you may want to argue with me about it, but you're going to have to argue with Him because I'm just telling you what He said. Amen? So I encourage you, put the Word and the Spirit first. All right, this week, we're going to do something very unique, something a little bit different, but it's still along the lines of soul care. And the question is this, what do we do when tragedy comes into our lives? Maybe affects us personally or a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a spouse. How do we deal with circumstances that are just crazy? How many people had a tragedy happen in their life at one point or another? All right, if you did not put up your hand, I want to talk to you after and find out how you got into that bubble. You know, how you were able to not have things happen. Because life has stuff. Stuff happens, right? If we live in this world, stuff happens. So how do we deal with that? How do we work that through as believers in Jesus? Because let me tell you something. We shouldn't act the same as we did before Jesus. There should be something changes on the inside of us. And now we have Jesus in our hearts. It changes how we're supposed to perceive the tragedies in our life, the difficult things, the circumstances. So with that as kind of the prelude to this, I want to invite some dear guests, and they're not really guests because they're part of the body here, but Russell and Aaron Bovey are going to come up. Put your hands together for them. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just spend some time talking together. Now, is that Kleenex box for me or for you?
Whoever needs it.
Me.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Amen. Russell and Aaron have a story to tell, and it's amazing, really. It's hard to hear parts of it. I'm going to warn you right now, give you all the stuff that they put on, television, warning, some things might be difficult. But let me tell you something, it ends well. Can I tell you that so that you have hope even through some of the dark things? It ends well. And I believe that's the heart and the Spirit of God for each and every one of us, that no matter what you're going through, even at this very moment, God wants it to end well. Amen? Amen. So with that in mind, some of these people are like, I don't know these people. I don't know who they are. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Just give me a little bit of background. Okay.
So, as Pastor Carl was saying, my name is Russell Bovey. This is Aaron Bovey. Hello. I volunteer here sometimes, a lot of times, but I'm usually, you can see me as a point person, or sometimes I'm running around for help with the children's ministry a little bit, and so, I like to work behind the scenes. Sometimes you see me up in at worship, I'm work construction. I've been a believer since I was 6 years old and just grew up in a good, strong Christian family, so awesome. They can't complain about that at all. That was awesome. And I'll let Aaron speak about some other things.
I'm the children's pastor here at Reach Out.
Amen.
Yes. This is your extra plug for Camp Expedition if you want to get involved. We need volunteers.
Please help us.
So sign up. And I think what's really cool about Russell and I is that we are high school sweethearts that met here at the church, going through youth group and going on a Mexico missions trip. We met at 16 and 18, so we have been together for 15 years, and we've been married for 8.
Amen. Hey, who says love can't be found in church? Amen? Amen. So, you guys got married, and life is going great, you're enjoying life, and something happens.
Yes. So first I want to start off with saying that the tissues are for me because when the Spirit moves in my life, I get overwhelmed with emotion. And they're good tears, but not bad tears. But sometimes give me a minute to recuperate and keep going.
We'll give that to you.
Okay. So we're having a great life. We were living good and in late 2016, early 2017, I got really sick. I was in pain to a point where I was hunched over. I couldn't move. I couldn't stand up straight. It was like fire in my lower back. I had never felt pain ever in my life. And I work construction, so I get hurt a lot. But never felt pain like that in my entire life. And at first, the diagnosis was Lyme's disease.
Okay.
So there was Lyme's disease, and I was just suffering from that. So they treated me on 8 weeks of Lyme's disease. Okay. The drug that they use kills your immune system to try to kill everything with Lyme's and everything. But that didn't help my actual situation. And in January-ish of 2017, so right in the beginning of 2017, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Wow.
I had 5 different types of cancers when they had tested it. I had multiple surgeries and procedures and stuff that, I needed to go through. I did 12 regimens of chemotherapy, 12 regimens, 3 weeks in each regimen. The first week was 5 days a week, 8 hours a day of just pumping chemo through me. I lost tons of weight. I lost probably like 50-something pounds.
Wow.
And of mass that I didn't have to lose,
Yeah.
I lost, classic, lost all my hair. I was not, it was pretty unrecognizable as a person. Yeah, it was very tough.
Now, I know before you had your actual prognosis where you weren't feeling well, what happened there? You know, let's bring the Lord into this because he plays a huge role in this.
100%.
So before your diagnosis, your official one,
right?
What did the Lord do?
So one day I was in pain, and I was showering and trying to clear my head and everything, and I felt something that wasn't supposed to be there. I did the worst thing that you could do, and I went on WebMD and I looked it up, you know, and I'm scrolling through everything, all the scenarios that it could be, you know, there's hundreds of them, and the Lord said that one. He said cancer.
And so this is before you went to
the
doctor.
This is before I got the actual prognosis of what was happening, and I told Aaron, I said, I believe that it's cancer. And that night was rough. Yeah. That night we didn't sleep. That night I bawled my eyes out. Mm-hmm. We both did. I didn't know what to do, you know. But as we prayed, and as we sought the Lord, He gave us overwhelming peace. Mm. Mm-hmm. And He gave us the confidence, which gave us the confidence to go into the next season of life. And we held on to that peace and just continued to press in and continued to seek the Lord.
That one of the scriptures you shared with me earlier was Isaiah 26:3, and they'll put it up, I think. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you."
Yes.
And that was one of the scriptures that I heard that you guys held on to.
Yes.
So, Aaron, obviously, you're the support staff of this at this moment. How did you feel about all this? You thought you married this young, healthy, strapping young man, and you know, things kind of went sideways.
Yeah, they did. It was scary. I think what was scary was we had no idea really what was going on. You know, I watched for a few months of my husband being sick and having fevers and being in excruciating pain, and it felt like we had no answers. And then when Russell found this mass, just like shock came over us of like, what are we going to do? Because when you hear cancer, there's all of these things that come with that word. At least for us, there was. Mm-hmm. And so we were instantly afraid. And so we were like, the only thing that we can do is pray. And that was the first time that I have ever felt a tangible presence of peace come over our lives. Mm. It was like a blanket of peace. And that stayed with us through the entire journey of Russell's treatments and surgeries and all of those things, because we continued to remain steadfast on the Lord and trust in Him. Even in the scary times, because your mind does a lot of things when you're afraid, right? It tells you a lot of lies.
Yeah. I know also with the chemo, that affects your mind, gives you, you know, that brain fog kind of thing. Mm-hmm. How did you feel as you began the process of all the treatments?
Yeah, so it was mind-blowing at how, you know, fast everything happened, but I just felt confident going into everything that the Lord was with me and that He was not going to let me go. You know, He had told me in that peace, that time of peace, that I've got you. Mm-hmm. You know, you I'm with you. And, you know, it's going to be hard, but I'm there.
Now, you've got the physical thing going on, obviously the emotional, spiritual, but also the financial part. You know, we're talking about, you know, I think you told us at the first service, and maybe you mentioned here too, five different cancers you were diagnosed with as part of this. Mm-hmm. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not maybe even into the millions. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have a magic tree in your backyard? Or, you know, how did that all get provided for?
So I had been working at another church at the time, and the insurance that they had for us, we had just changed over in that January, so it was new to us, and the coverage was just wonderful. So we had gone through all of our out-of-pocket by, you know, January, February, and he had just been diagnosed. And so our insurance coverage covered everything that entire year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which was provision through God, right? Like, he knew that this was a journey that Russell and I were going to take. Like, nothing's a surprise for God, and he prepared a way for us to be able to get through it financially without having that as another burden. And what was kind of interesting after all of this was done, you know, Russell went through a lot of things. His chemo was, what would we say, 12 weeks or 3 months?
12 weeks, yeah.
But there were a lot of things that happened after that. It really took up the whole year and then some. And that insurance company went bankrupt at the end of the year.
All because of Russell.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank God it didn't happen before.
Exactly.
You know,
right,
got
absolutely.
Looked after.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's miraculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was very cool.
So you went through a number of procedures. So the chemo was first, is that correct? And then you went through some surgeries after?
There was, there was the removal of the mass that they wanted to test, and they wanted to make sure and just see what it was, whether it was cancerous, was it not cancerous?
Yep.
And so there was the initial removal, which happened right away. And then there was a couple procedures to get me ready for chemotherapy. They had, you know, they put a port in so that it didn't kill all the veins in my hands and my arms and my legs and stuff. And so that was, you know, that pumped it basically directly into my heart. And so that procedure, and then I went through chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And then after the chemotherapy, they wanted to remove all the masses. Now, I had said what the masses were, but I had a tumor the size of a grapefruit or a softball in my pelvis, which was putting pressure on nerves, which is what made my back feel like it was on fire all the time. Mm-hmm. Then I also had like a grapevine of lymph nodes that had swollen into tumors that was hanging down by my spinal cord, mm-hmm. and down by my kidneys and everything like that. And so they wanted to remove all that and take that all out. So that's a big surgery. We thought that the surgery was going to be like 3 hours long, but it ended up being almost four times that amount. Mm-hmm. I was out and open for about 11 hours. They removed 43 lymph nodes, 43 tumors. And one of the tumors, the big one down in my pelvis, was actually latched onto a main nerve going down my right leg that if they had gotten too much into it, I could have lost function in my leg because I would have not been able to feel my leg. Mm-hmm. So they just took a large swab of that. So I still technically have that mass in there, but it's, thank the Lord, it's all dead. Everything that they tested, all the cancers were gone.
It's awesome.
It was completely benign. Yeah. So, yeah.
So how long ago was that? Now we've got some time between then and now, right?
Yeah, so my cancer, the cancer that I had was primary seminoma. So they call it a seminoma, whatever, the most highest percentage. And so that was a 3 year remission period. It's now been 6 years and I am completely healed.
Woo! Awesome.
There's no cancer, so that's awesome.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's
good. You know, there are people here right now, people watching online, that maybe they're in the midst of the middle of this. Maybe they've just received a diagnosis, or maybe they even just sense something's going on the inside of them that isn't right. What would you have wanted to hear then, or maybe you did hear from someone, or what would you say to them to help them through this challenging time right now?
Gotcha. You know, that was a hard question for me to try to figure out, to think about. And so I was struggling with that all the way up until last night. And, you know, I was laying awake in bed. I could not sleep. And I was just interceding to the Lord and just asking him and praying and saying, Lord, what do you want me to say? Mm. You know, and in that moment, the Lord brought up a dream that I had back when I was going through the hardest of it, the deepest, the darkest parts of my mental state and of my, you know, physical pain and just weariness of going through it. And the dream is, I'm in a dark place. It's all dark, and there's these two jagged black mountains coming up and converging together into a valley. And in that valley there's this thick mud, tar-like substance, just like super thick and deep. Mm. And I'm lying face down in that mud. I'm lying face down in the mud, unable to move, unable to help myself in any way. Mm. And I'm fully submerged in that mire, that muck. And my hand is out of the mire, and I'm being dragged through the mud. I'm just being dragged through the mud, and I'm like, oh man. I said, you know, life is just dragging me through the mud and the tar and the stickiness of life. And I'm just being dragged and being dragged. And as I thought that, the person who was dragging me stopped. And they lifted up my head out of the mud, out of the tar, and they took their thumbs like this, and they just wiped my face clean. Yeah. And they just cleaned my face. Mm. As if to check if I was okay. And checked to make sure that I was okay. And then they lowered my head back down into the mud and into the tar, and they dragged me further and further. And then I realized that the person stopped again, and they lifted up my face again, and they wiped away my face, and they cleaned my face, and they renewed me and gave me hope and built my faith up. And then I realized that wasn't life dragging me through the mud, but it was Jesus helping me go through the mud and go through the tar and the hard parts of life. And that every time he lifted my face up, he would just clean it away, and he would just renew my hope and renew my faith in him that he was going to pull me through it. And I, as long as I held on, as long as I held on to Jesus pulling me and helping me out of that there was hope for me to lift me up and to be, that I would be cleaned and renewed for the next journey in life. Mm-hmm. And that I just wouldn't let go. And my encouragement is to hold on. Mm-hmm. Don't abandon hope. Don't let go of Jesus, because there's always hope for him to lift you up, to renew your strength, to renew your faith, and renew your hope in him. And if you let go, then you just sink deep into this darkness and this fear and feeling of abandonment. Yeah. And I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I was like, thank you, Lord, for this dream. You know, thank you for showing me this. And the Lord said, he said, who am I? And I said, well, Jesus, you're Christ. You know, you're our Savior. You're our salvation. And then he said, where am I? And I was like, Lord, what do you mean? And he says, I'm in the church. I'm in the hearts and the minds of all the people in the church. We are the body of Christ. And through us, we are to help encourage and uplift and renew people that are going through a hard time.
That's good.
And so that's just my experience that I was sitting and just crying in bed last night, thinking about and praying about. And that's what the Lord showed
me. That's
a
good word. Don't let go.
Don't let go.
Don't let go.
Don't abandon hope.
Now, Aaron, you know, you weren't directly suffering, but you can't get much closer, if you know what I'm saying. What would you say to that person here that's supporting someone going through a difficult time?
Yeah, it's hard, right? Because when you're supporting somebody who's close to you going through all this, your life is about them, right? Making sure that they're okay, them getting what they need, them surviving, fighting on their behalf with the doctors and you are their strength. You are what they need, right? And so my life was wrapped up in everything that Russell needed. And with that, we had a lot of people praying for us. And so I would say tap into your communities, because we have family who were praying. They were prayer warriors for us. We have extended friends. We had church communities. And that power of prayer, we felt that tangibly. I know Russell felt that. I felt that everywhere we went. The other thing that I will say is that at some point, you have to release control over the person that you care about, right? And so I wanted to do everything I could for Russell. I wanted to help him. I wanted to fix things. I wanted to do things. And I couldn't do that on my own strength. And so at some point, you have to decide, do you want to do it with God and his strength, or do you want to do it with by yourself and on your own strength? And I really encourage you guys to press into God and his strength. And it's challenging. You know, Russell mentioned there was a surgery that was supposed to be 3 hours, and it went 11 hours. And that was the worst night of my life. And in that moment, I had to hand Russell completely over to Jesus. I had to say, Lord, like, I love you. I love my husband, but I have to put you first. And so whatever your will is in this moment, whether he makes it out of surgery or not, I will continue to love you and I will continue to follow you. But I do not want this to happen. And so I'm going to pray for your will to happen and release all of the control that I have over Russell to Christ. And he came out and everything was fine. But I think that's the hardest part is people who are supporting their loved ones is that they want to take that control. And God wants you to release that so that he can help you.
I mean, that's a good word. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've been talking about the miracle of your healing, and which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But a second miracle has happened. I noticed that there's not three of us up here, but there's actually four of us up here. Russell, you want to share a little bit about that? That
yes.
Miracle?
Yeah. So, you know, because of my situation that I was in, you know, because of the type of cancer that I had, the type of chemotherapy that I had, and the type of surgery even after the cancer had been, you know, quote unquote, killed, all those situations led to infertility. Every single one of them, in their own right, would say, sorry, like the doctor would say, there's no, right. You know, there's no, you know, you're not going to have, you know, be able to have children. Mm-hmm. And that was really, you know, really hard for us, you know, really hard for me to hear, you know, obviously, and because we really wanted children. And I was just praying to the Lord again in just a time of just like complete sorrow and just downtrodden on myself. And I was just, Lord, like, you know my heart. You know why, like, we want children. Why would you allow me to go through this and take that from us? Why would you do that, you know? And in that moment, the Lord gave me a vision. And it was a vision of me playing with a little girl and it being my little girl. And I held on to that. I said, Lord, okay, your promise. You promise, Lord. All right. I'll hold on to that. And I've held on to that for 6 years. And now...
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Amen. It's awesome. You know, I know that it was a big deal for you guys to kind of open up your hearts and your souls to us and share with us this morning, but I am sure that there are people here that needed to hear this and those watching online as well. So I'm just grateful on behalf of everyone here as part of this body. Thank you for being willing to do this. I know it's not easy. I know you said you laid asleep all last night. I could imagine just the anxiety of doing this, but I appreciate you doing it. I believe that the Lord is blessed by you as well. So thanks
so
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's stand together for those that aren't standing yet, if you can, and let's just close in a word of prayer. You know, in a sense, we've brought you to this moment right here, right now, to talk about you
and to ask the question, where are you in your life? First of all, if you are Christless, in other words, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. When life happens, you want Jesus in your heart. You need him. It's going to be tough enough with him, but without him, it's impossible. So right at this very moment, if you're here in this place within the sound of my voice or listening or watching online, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no time like right now. So Lord, right now, if there be anyone. If there's anyone here, just raise your hand. If you don't know Jesus personally, just put your hand up in the air. I'm not going to make you do anything. I see that hand over there. Anyone else? See that hand there? Anyone else? Father, you see those hands raised. So let's just pray this together, church, to help them. And for those that specifically raised your hands, pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. Just follow after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I've sinned. I've missed the mark. I'm not perfect. And I need you to come and save me. Save me this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you know Jesus now. And he'll be with you through everything, through the highs, the lows, and everywhere in between. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, right now I just pray for each person here. And Lord God, difficulties of life, challenges of life are part of life. And Lord, right now, some people here right now, they feel like they're in that muck, that mud. And Lord, right now, I just pray that you'll clean their faces off. That you'll lift them up out of that muck and let them know that you're there with them. And that you will help them to get to the other side. And they will get to the other side as they hold on to you. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you'll give them the faith and the strength and the fortitude to hold on no matter what, because you never will let go of us. So Lord, for those that maybe are our supporters, like Aaron was, just come alongside. For those individuals, I pray that you will continue to give them strength and wisdom. That Lord, that they don't give up, but they actually give over to you. That they surrender to you, because you're more concerned about the circumstances than they are. So that they can begin to cast their cares upon you because you care for them so much. So Lord God, just be with them as well. And so Lord, right now, I speak a blessing over your people. Lord God, you've got wonderful things for each person here. And I pray that they keep their eyes fixed on you. And in doing so, you will guide them and direct them, even in the dark times of life, but in all the other times as well, that you will guide them and direct them as you see fit. Lord, I pray your presence is sensed among them even right now. More than just a head acknowledgement, but a knowing in their heart that you're with them, walking alongside of them, no matter what befalls them. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. So bless each one, Lord, as they go as lights for you in this world. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.